Socotra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise and really get to the heart of ideas that shape how we live. And today, we are diving into a really, really fascinating book, Richard Sennett's The Fall of Public Man. It asks this question that I think many of us probably think about, maybe subconsciously.
Yeah.
Why does being out in public interacting as citizens often feel so, I don't know, thin or just plain difficult?
Yeah, why is it so hard sometimes to act together, to connect with people we don't know personally?
Exactly. And Sennett's big idea, his central argument, is that, well, Western society has gone through this massive shift.
A huge one.
We've moved away from a culture that really understood and frankly valued a certain kind of impersonal public interaction.
Yeah.
You know, the skill of dealing with strangers towards something else entirely, an obsession almost with intimacy, with being authentic, with constantly showing our true selves.
Right. And our mission here for you is to really unpack the crucial insights from Sennett's work. We want to help you understand this huge societal change, what it means, and maybe why your own everyday experiences, like how you feel walking down a busy street, or even how you react to the news, why they feel the way they do.
Yeah, consider this your shortcut to getting your head around a really fundamental idea about modern life.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's get into it. Sennett lays out this, what he calls a troubling thesis.
It's a good way to put it, troubling.
Yeah, it's about the slow collapse, the erosion of public life. And in its place, this rise of intimacy as the main way we relate to each other. How did that happen? How did we go from a world where, you know, public interaction was almost like a performance,
a necessary skill,
to one where we feel we have to bare our souls everywhere?
Well, and Sennett is really clear. He doesn't see this as some kind of positive evolution. He sees it as a loss, a big one. His argument is that our obsession today with personality, with being authentic, expressing all our inner feelings, it's paradoxically made us less effective politically, more fragmented socially.
Yeah.
It actually undermines, he thinks, the foundations of democracy and even just like good city life. The public sphere gets hollowed out, replaced by this focus on private feelings, on psychological motives for everything.
So it's a fall because we've lost a certain kind of capability.
Exactly. A public capability. Something essential for living together.
Yeah, that's provocative.
Yeah.
Because it pushes against so much of what we value today, right?
Yeah.
Authenticity, closeness.
Totally.
Have you ever felt that frustration? You know, watching political debates that just turn into personality contests.
Mm.
Or that awkwardness trying to connect with strangers in a public place, even when you're surrounded by people.
Well, absolutely. All the time.
Well, this deep dive is about giving you the historical backstory for why that might be happening. It's not just you. It's a deep cultural shift Sennett is mapping out.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go deeper, let's talk about our guide here, Richard Sennett. Who is he?
Right. He's a really distinguished sociologist, an urban theorist. His work crosses so many fields, sociology, history, urban planning, cultural criticism. It's quite a mix.
That's an unusual combination.
It really is.
Yeah.
And his background is super important for understanding his angle. He wasn't just an academic. He actually trained as a musician, studied cello at Juilliard.
Wow.
And that experience, that understanding of performance, of the dramatic side of life, it really feeds into his whole thesis about public man as an actor playing roles.
Oh, that made sense.
Yeah, he connects these huge historical shifts, like how cities are designed or even fashion trends, to our everyday experiences, our character, and our ability or inability to engage in civic life.
So The Fall of Public Man, it sounds ambitious.
Oh, it's hugely ambitious. He takes us on this sweeping journey, basically across three centuries, starting in 18th century London and Paris, moving all the way up to the late 20th century.
And the goal.
His goal is to diagnose what he sees as this fundamental sickness in modern culture, which is, again, this erosion of public life and what he calls the tyranny of intimacy taking its place.
The tyranny of intimacy. That's a powerful phrase.
It is. And he traces really carefully how our modern focus on personality, authenticity, revealing ourselves intimately, how that has weirdly weakened democracy. He looks at, I mean, everything, city architecture, fashion, how people acted in theaters, changes in sex and relationships, even workplace stuff and politics.
So he connects the physical spaces we inhabit, like streets and squares, to these bigger cultural changes in how we interact or maybe don't interact.
Precisely. He sees it all as interconnected.
And this is where it gets really kind of mind-bending. He presents this paradox, things that most of us probably think of as progress, you know, being more authentic, having closer families.
Right, things we value.
He argues they actually represent a loss. a loss of our capacity to act together socially and politically. He's making a case for why that impersonal, maybe even theatrical, public behavior was crucial for democracy. It really challenges how we think today.
It absolutely does.
Okay, so let's travel back with him to what he sort of paints as this golden age of public life. Pre-modern 18th century European cities. What was that like?
Well, he describes public spaces, streets, squares, coffee houses as functioning almost like theaters. Yeah, places where people from all sorts of different backgrounds could interact. But, and this is key, they interacted according to pretty well understood codes and rituals. There were rules to the performance.
So man as actor, that idea was central.
Absolutely central. People understood that public life required a certain performance, some artifice. Wearing a mask wasn't seen as being fake or deceitful. It was a social tool, like a shared script everyone knew. Theater itself was a model, teaching people how to read social cues, how to respond appropriately, and really important, how to keep your emotions in check in public. It was about shared understanding, not necessarily shared feelings.
That feels so different from now. He talks about this ideal figure, the man of the world.
Yes. Someone who was skilled, really adept at navigating all kinds of social situations, using wit, using artifice, social intelligence, but crucially, without spilling their private life all over the place.
Which is pretty much the opposite of what we often expect or encourage today, right? Like on social media or even at work sometimes.
Exactly. Total contrast. And this leads to the idea of public roles. Things like clothing, manners, social conventions. They created a system that allowed people to interact productively with strangers.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Think about those 18th century London coffee houses. They were these buzzing public places where people from different classes could actually debate things rationally, talk about news, do business, without needing to know each other's deepest, darkest secrets.
Okay.
Or picture Parisian street life back then. There was a kind of sophisticated public engagement possible because everyone understood the unspoken rules of how to behave, how to interact. Shared conventions made connection possible, not personal confessions.
Right. So you have this picture of a fairly vibrant, if maybe somewhat stylized, 18th century public life. How did that start to change? Where did the cracks appear?
Well, interestingly, Sennett argues it really started to shift with the rise of the bourgeois family in the 19th century. The home became this idealized space.
The sanctuary.
Exactly. A sanctuary of emotional authenticity. And it was increasingly seen in contrast to the public world, which started to be viewed as artificial, maybe even corrupt or cold.
Ah, the public-private split getting stronger.
Precisely. And this fueled what he calls the ideology of authenticity. Thinkers like Jean-Jacques Rousseau were big proponents, starting to frame public roles and those social masks as hypocritical, dishonest even.
So this is the beginning of our modern idea that if you're not being yourself constantly in every situation, you're somehow being fake.
That's basically it, yeah. A huge departure from how things were understood before.
And this focus on authenticity, on the inner self, it started bleeding into public life.
Big time. This is where personality in public comes in. Personality itself becomes this major social category. How people behaved in public started being interpreted through the lens of their personality, not just their role or social position.
And that changes politics how?
Well, inevitably, political talk shifts. It becomes less about the actual issues, the policies, and more about the personal character, the perceived authenticity of the leaders. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, just a little bit. Is he sort of predicting the rise of, like, personality-driven politics? Reality TV stars getting elected, that kind of thing.
You could definitely draw that line. He uses the Dreyfus Affair in late 19th century France as a key example.
Right, the army officer falsely accused of treason.
Yeah, and what happened was, instead of just focusing on the facts, the evidence, the whole country got swept up in this massive psychological drama about Dreyfus's character. Was he loyal? What were the hidden motives of his defenders and accusers?
So it became less about justice and more about judging personalities.
Exactly. It foreshadowed how personality would start to overshadow substance in public discourse. A huge shift.
And that ties into Charisma Unchained.
It does. Charisma originally had this, like, religious meaning, divine grace. But it evolved into this secular political power based purely on personal magnetism, on how a leader makes people feel.
Not based on their ideas or their track record.
Right. And Sennett argues that's deeply dangerous for democratic institutions because it bypasses rational debate and accountability. We vote for the vibe, not the plan.
Okay, so connecting all this history to where we are now, Sennett talks about the tyrannies of intimacy. What does he mean by that? It sounds harsh.
It does sound harsh, but he means that our modern obsession with intimacy, with being authentic all the time, it actually creates its own kind of social pressure, even oppression.
How so?
It makes it harder for us to have those necessary, impersonal, but still productive relationships, you know, the kind you need at work or in politics or just interacting in a diverse city. We feel this burden to be emotionally open and transparent everywhere, even when it's not really appropriate or helpful.
You see that reflected in our spaces too, right? The end of public culture.
Absolutely. Think about urban design. So many shopping malls or suburban housing developments, they seem designed to minimize unpredictable encounters with strangers.
Maximize private comfort, minimize public friction.
Yeah. They often lack those spaces that encourage spontaneous, diverse public life. They're not really designed for bumping into people who are different from you in an unscripted way, which, Sennett argues, undermines public culture.
And this all feeds into what he calls societal narcissism. Which isn't just about selfies, I take it.
No, not just vanity. He means a state where our own individual feelings, our own identity, become the only real measure of what's true or important.
Can you give an example?
Imagine, like, a community meeting about a new development. If everyone only talks about how this proposal makes me feel or how it affects my view, instead of discussing the practicalities, the costs, the benefits for the whole community,
then you can't get anything done collectively.
Pretty much. That focus inward makes collective action, finding common ground, incredibly difficult. That's the societal narcissism he's diagnosing.
Wow. Okay. So let's try to pull out the big takeaways here. What are the key messages Sennett wants us to grapple with today? How does this actually hit home for, you know, for you listening?
Well, first, definitely that idea of the tyranny of intimacy, how something seemingly good closeness can become destructive for public life when it's elevated above everything else.
And he has that quote, right? Intimacy is the attempt to solve the political problem by running away from it.
Exactly. Powerful line. And think about how this applies to work. Maybe understanding that clear roles and professional boundaries, not forced family vibes or constant emotional sharing, can actually lead to better collaboration and less stress. That whole bring your whole self to work idea, Sennett would say, maybe not always. It can blur lines and make diverse interaction harder.
Okay, what else?
Then there's the art of public performance, the idea that a functioning public life actually requires certain skills performance, a bit of artifice, emotional control skills we've kind of lost or devalued.
Right, the mask isn't fake, it's functional. He says something like, wearing a mask is the essence of civility.
Yeah, because civility protects us from each other's raw emotions while still letting us interact, even enjoy each other's company. This isn't about deception. It's about creating social breathing room.
And that applies to city planning, too.
Definitely. Supporting those neutral public grounds, parks, libraries, public squares where people can share space and experiences without needing to share their deepest feelings. Places that allow for interaction without demanding intimacy.
Makes sense. And the political angle.
Hugely important. The personalization of politics. How our focus on personality over policy corrupts political debate and fuels polarization.
He nails this when he says the public realm gets trivialized, right? It becomes a place for superficial exchanges because we think the real truth about someone is only in their private self, not their public actions or ideas.
Exactly. And that's such a crucial insight for media literacy now. It helps you resist getting sucked into the charisma or the personal drama, especially online, and try to focus on the actual substance. What are they proposing? What's the evidence?
Yeah, good point. Anything else?
Well, that related idea, the paradox of authenticity, our constant search for it has, ironically, maybe made us less able to express ourselves genuinely in diverse settings because we lack the shared social codes, the masks, to navigate them comfortably.
And tied to that is the decline of civility. Losing those codes makes public encounters just harder, more awkward, more prone to misunderstanding.
Right. And for your own well-being, maybe there's a kind of liberation in Sennett's ideas. It's okay not to be emotionally on and available all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It validates privacy, the freedom of having impersonal yet still respectful interactions. You don't have to bare your soul to everyone to be part of society.
So if we boil it all down, the most valuable lesson here from Sennett's Follow Public Man seems to be this. A healthy democracy, a functioning society, it needs a strong public sphere that's actually distinct from our private, intimate lives.
Mm-hmm.
And counterintuitively, maybe, some level of social performance, some artifice, some emotional discipline, These aren't bad things. They're actually essential tools for social harmony and for getting things done together politically. It's about acting publicly without constantly needing to reveal ourselves privately.
Well said. It really challenges us to rethink what makes a good society.
So here's a final thought for you to mull over, building on all this. In a world that pushes us constantly towards personal authenticity, towards intimate connection everywhere, what's one small practical way you could try practicing that art of public performance this week?
Yeah, or just cultivate a more impersonal but still respectful interaction with a stranger. Maybe it's as simple as a polite nod instead of forced conversation. Or focusing on the issue in a local debate, not the personalities involved.
Or maybe just taking a moment to appreciate a shared public space, a park, a library, for the very fact that it allows people to be together without demanding they reveal everything.
Interesting things to think about.
Indeed. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into Richard Sennett's really powerful ideas.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.